Sunday night edition of the PFF forecast. It is November 20th, and we've finally seen it come to a crashing halt. The New York football teams no longer Super Bowl bound. You hate to see it. We're going to talk about our biggest takeaways with Ben Brown here to start off the show. And then, of course, we're going to guess the Week 12 lines. That includes what is always one of the best weeks of the NFL season, because we have Thanksgiving football. Some good games this year on Thanksgiving, so it'll be a lot of fun. Arjun Menon joins us there, and we'll give our favorite early week bets again this week, which are apparently the only bets that I can win, that and Chiefs Live. Let's rock. Did you guys all get on the Chiefs at any point live during this game?
I was on it. I mean, I ran the printing press as well. I mean, that's like the number one rule of the printing press or whatever, right? This Chiefs in game. I actually got asked about when George was going to be getting on the Chiefs in game tonight on one of my radio spots today. So I had to let you know that for sure, because it's just the people know. They know, right?
Judah, system play.
Yeah, Judah, let us know. By the way, any members of the printing press that are here live with us, we appreciate you all. Hopefully you had a good Sunday. If you are a Sunday night member, but you're not a Wednesday night member, you need to get involved, because Judah Fortgang gives out gold. By the way, Judah hit one of, I don't know if he hit any in the afternoon slate, but he hit one of his same game parlays, which brings his ROI on the season. He is up a bunch of units this season. Combined alternate line, pregame, in-game, and same-game parlays as well. Brad, I'm a little worried. I was hoping that you were going to – you're put together, your hair is done, but I was worried. I thought maybe you were going to come in disheveled, ruined, crying, maybe beers in the background because of Justin Fields.
Fair concern. I appreciate it. But the one thing I can look at is the Raiders get an ugly win. The Bears are picking third overall, baby. So I'm just looking at Jalen Carter and, you know, the back of my screen. That's keep me happy these days.
There you go. All right. We, as usual, do one big takeaway. We're going to start with Ben, because for those of you that do not know, Ben is a Minnesota Viking fan. He is from Minnesota. He is a devout purple people eater, whatever the hell they call him over there. That didn't go so well. So Ben, I don't know if your big takeaway has anything to do with the big dump that Kirk Cousins put on national television today, but I am excited to hear it regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is like emotionally hedging at this point, but it is maybe a little bit of just a vent or whatever else. But like, I did bet on the Cowboys, thankfully. That was like my biggest position all week outside of the Bengals. Okay. So I am thankful for that. But there are, I would say, no good teams in the NFC right now. It is bad. I don't think there's like, I think if you had all the teams in the NFC compared to the AFC, like I wouldn't choose any of the NFC teams before the top five teams in the AFC. Obviously, there's the Bills and the Chiefs. Honestly, I think the Dolphins are better than any team in the NFC. And then it kind of comes down to, like, you know, your standing of, you know, where the Chargers and Bengals are. And honestly, like, the Vikings and the Chargers are the exact same team, right? I think that Justin Herbert's obviously a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. Justin Jefferson, you know, I would say a better version than Keenan Allen at the wide receiver position. But I think if you're comparing, you know, those two teams, the Bengals and Chargers, to, you know, the best of Philadelphia and Minnesota, like, I'm still probably leaning in the AFC's direction. And you can bet this on DraftKings -130 for the AFC to win the Super Bowl. I think that's a little bit compressed, because we always see Super Bowl, you know, spreads kind of hover around like -2.5, -3, but I think we're going to see a little bit of a ransacking in the Super Bowl with whatever team from the AFC, I would say, kind of lay the smackdown on any team that somehow emerges from the NFC, is my, you know, big takeaway after the Vikings just completely shit the bed here on Sunday.
Who is the best team in the NFC. Are you still riding with the Eagles? Have you given up on the Vikings?
I mean, I don't think it's the Vikings. I very much would say that it's probably like the Eagles probably are deserving of it. And I do think that obviously it's going to help them, you know, getting the number one seed. But I'm still not convinced that Jalen Hurts is going to be capable of actually winning a playoff game coming from behind. So if they, you know, if they play a team like Tampa Bay or even Dallas in the second round, like I will very much be on either one of, you know, Dallas or Tampa Bay against Philadelphia. So I think it's still maybe Dallas, maybe San Francisco. I don't know. That's like when it's all said and done, I think it's going to be one of those teams that ends up making it through the NFC. But like I said, I don't think that's going to be, you know, a huge test against anybody that gets out of the AFC.
Brad, who do you think the best, who are your top three in the NFC?
So I am going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, especially if slash when Odell Beckham Jr. joins the squad, which I think is going to happen. He apparently was watching the Giants and the Cowboys today. You guys guess who he enjoyed watching better and is leading towards. So I will go Dallas 1, Philly 2. And then, yeah, I mean, I guess San Francisco might be in that conversation. But I do agree with Ben. You even mentioned the Ravens, too, who might be better than the top teams in the NFC right. as well. They didn't look very good today. But, yeah, it's pretty stacked. But again, though, I'll jump into my rant now, my one takeaway. So what's going to hold back Dallas is head coach Mike McCarthy for various different reasons. But today the reason that popped up was it is 37-7 in this football game. Kirk Cousins hasn't done anything the entire time. And he has Micah Parsons still in this game rushing the passer, twists his ankle, gets taken to the medical blue tent. The next possession throws a screen pass, buddy pass to CeeDee Lamb, who gets popped and like gingerly kind of walks up. Both guys I think are fine, but I thought Chris Collinsworth made a very cool point tonight. Shout out our guy Chris. Talking about how Josh Palmer, and it showed up, he said it early in the game before the game started, how because Keenan Allen and Michael Williams were out for basically the entire season for Keenan Allen, it allowed Palmer to have to be the number one wide receiver to deal with taking on attention, being the top target, being the go-to guy. Now that he's back to being the number three, that experience and what he's gained from that, you know, that 2 months of being the dude is so valuable. I mean, he played great tonight, had two touchdowns, a couple other nice catches. There's no reason. Dallas is playing at noon on Thursday, and you're up 30 points, and you're playing your star players. When you're not, you have a bunch of young guys who could get it valuable reps, valuable experience, keep your guys healthy. It's just completely nonsensical. CeeDee Lamb returned punts for them last year, which is the dumbest thing of all time. I don't understand. The reps are valuable. Everyone could benefit from them. And you keep your guys fresh and healthy in a 17 game season. It's insane.
It was interesting. By the way, I noticed Chris today on the broadcast, speaking of, this, I don't know. So the slide is gone. Have you guys noticed this? It's like a really jarring.
It was back for one week or something, right?
I got a little bit of the scoop from what I can share. The only reason the slide was back for that 1 week was the size of the booth that they were in. But, overall it is so. The slide is, you know, kind of a sacred thing, right? It was an Alan Chris sort of thing. So it didn't, you know, they're not running it back without Al, which I think makes some sense. Like Al is, you know, a legend. Like you don't just, you know, you have to respect the legends of the game. But I'm wondering if Chris is going to have some new something, you know, to kind of like put a mark on that intro. It did a little spin of the microphone today, which I've noticed a couple of times. I wonder if he's like testing some things out. I think I would agree with you, Brad, that the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC. But I think the Niners are the second best. And I think the Niners would be favored if they play the Cowboys. And I think they should be. And it's one of those things where in isolation, like I think the Cowboys are the better team in terms of like against an average team on a neutral field. But if they were to play one another, the way that those teams match up, the Niners are going to be able to handle what it is that the Cowboys kind of bring against, which is that really good pass rush. They will neutralize that better than I think most teams will. But I think those are the two best. Here is my big takeaway. Three teams on the East Coast will be and should be looking for new quarterbacks already. The New York Jets, not a surprise. I mean, that is a joke.
Locked.
Right now, 36 quarterbacks with 150-plus dropbacks so far this season. The lowest-graded passer in the NFL is Zach Wilson. There's nothing else to say. I guess if you watched any bit of that game and you came away going, no, you know what? I think he can figure it out. Then you are not watching enough football. I almost tweeted this out, but I saved it for the podcast. And I was going to try and make it sarcastic. There's no way to even make it sarcastic, but I'll say it anyways. Don't worry, Jets fans. It's okay. Because Sam Darnold looked this bad against Bill Belichick as a Jet, and it worked out great for him. Like if you're sitting there going, no, it's okay. Like, people have looked really, really bad, this bad before, and have come back and been okay. No, no, they've not. They had 2 yards in the second half. The New York Giants, Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is much better than Zach Wilson. The problem is that if you are trying to win the NFC East, you're trying to compete for a Super Bowl, he is not good enough to do that. So you've got to move on. He's 20th in PFF passing grade. And the third are the New England Patriots and Mac Jones. I think this will surprise a fair number of people. 36 quarterbacks, as I mentioned. Number 36, Zach Wilson. Number 35, Taylor Heineke. Number 34 is Mac Jones. Mac Jones has 7 big-time throws, 10 turnover-worthy plays. He has been a nightmare. The fact that we're not talking about him in that game against the Jets at home, they put up three. It's understandable that the Jets put up 3 points against Bill Belichick. You know why? Because Zach Wilson is bad. They're on the road, and it is against Bill Belichick. The Jets are a good defense, but it is ridiculous that the Patriots put up 3 points at home against that defense. And the only reason people aren't talking about it as much is because of the way that the Jets played. So all three of those teams should be looking. And I think the takeaway for me is this. There is going to be a ton of quarterback movement this offseason, whether it be through the draft, because there's a stacked draft class, or I think via trade. And it would not surprise me to see, you know, Aaron Rodgers end up playing in New York or something crazy like that. I think there's going to be a lot of turnover with the quarterbacks this season, because there's been so much terrible quarterback play.
Yeah. I would agree, and I actually think we saw some of that even kind of like the makings of the quarterback shifts even happening last year, but I think that's only going to, you know, intensify as we kind of see this divide between the two conferences as well. So I agree with you. I think I want to see some more Bailey Zappe in New England. I don't know. Is that a crazy thing to say or what? I mean, I think he's been better than Mac Jones for all intents and purposes from my perspective, but
It's never too early for Zappy Hour. But yeah, the Jets had 2.7 inches per play in the second half. And you mentioned the Patriots too, though. I mean, people are going to point to the box score with Mac Jones, but a lot of it was kind of empty between the 20s yardage. They didn't turn the ball over, and it had 3 points on offense. It was not a good showing by either player. Yes, both defenses are good, but I agree with you on all three counts.
Who is the so if we're in alignment that the top three teams in the NFC – just to go pivot back, because we've only talked about shitty quarterback play for so much here. The top three teams are Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas. Are we in alignment there, or would any of you guys put Minnesota in that group?
I think those three.
I would pending tomorrow night's performance, because I like the Arizona Cardinals tomorrow night. And if that happens, I would have the Vikings in the same tier as the 49ers with the other two teams in front of them.
Okay. Okay. Are the Seahawks the next best team? Like, is it the Bucs? It really takes a big slide from there if you start considering the Seahawks, doesn't it?
Right. It's completely different. I think if you're buying into the Bucs, though, I mean, it's still based so heavily on priors and them kind of responding after this bye that they have this week. And maybe that's a reason why you can buy into them. But yeah, those are the next two teams in the NFC. And I think, you know, given the current state of them, it's
a drop off after them too. Right? Like, there's another shelf after those two as well.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Speaking of Monday night, we've got Mexico City, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Arizona Cardinals. That is the second leg of our lock of the week. The first leg was the it was a teaser. First leg were the Las Vegas Raiders. They ended up winning outright in overtime. The second leg are the San Francisco 49ers. Ben, are there any other plays before we get you out of here that you like? You mentioned you like the Cardinals. Are you taking them? Is it 8.5 now?
Yeah, eight and a half. I think we're kind of still probably pending Kyler Murray's injury situation. I would have loved to see Marquise Brown get to go in this one and really lock in the Cardinals, but I think they're going to be spunky here at least early on. So I like the Cardinals like +4.5. First half is kind of the spot where I'm playing them. I do think there's definitely some opportunities once again on the 49ers pass catching situation, but I try to fade Juwan Jennings, kind of thinking he would be the guy that wasn't getting any targets with all these new weapons they have in the fold, and that you know, severely came back to bite me the last time I tried to do that. So I'm probably just holding on a majority of the player props from the 49ers perspective, because I still think we need a little bit more data as far as like how this target distribution and volume is going to break out for them. So maybe Jimmy Garoppolo over 1.5 rushing yards just to feel alive. But other than that, I don't know if there's too much else out there for me on Monday night.
I like that first half angle. And I could see, you know, this is one of those situations where everyone's kind of writing the Cardinals off. They've got some injuries. They're playing at home. Speaking of a player props that I like, Brandon Ayuk, 9th highest graded receiver this year. I don't think people would guess that. Right. And going up against a guy by the name of Marco Wilson. Marco Wilson is 109th, the highest graded corner. So I like that matchup for a guy, Brandon Ayuk. And by the way, Jimmy G mentioned his love for Brandon Ayuk this week. After practice. So, you know, that means he's going to get tons of targets thrown his way. Ben, it is always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. You should all follow Ben on Twitter, PFF underscore Ben Brown. Read all of his great content on the PFF app and PFF.com. I appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we will see you next week, brother.
Thank you, guys. Have a
All right. Before we get to the week 12, guess the lines, a quick reminder, if you are in a place where you cannot bet legally on the game of football or any other sport, go to BroThrow. BroThrow is an exchange. Well, actually not even an exchange. It's peer-to-peer betting and there's no VIG. So you just, you know, put up 10, bet it against another person. And if you win, you get 10 bucks back. They connect via Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, Skrill and Strike, and when you win, you pay that person pays you. If you lose, you pay them via that app, and it's really easy. A lot of bets that are up there, no player props yet, but you can bet spreads, totals, money lines, and you can post a line. If you don't see one there, you can put up a bet with a line that you would like to play, and if anyone wants to take you on it, you can get that line. So alternate spreads, money lines and totals also available there. BroThrow.com/PFF to sign up. You can't just sign up, without a special code. So our code is PFF, BroThrow.com/PFF. If you can bet legally, if you're in a state where you can do that, go to DraftKings Sportsbook, the official unofficial sports betting partner of the NFL. It is our go-to for the NFL this holiday season. Recommend that you use promo code PFF when you do sign up, because you can then bet $5 on any NFL team, and if they win, you'll get $150 in free bets if they do come through, plus boosted same game parlay odds when you add an extra leg to your same game parlay. So go read Judah Fortgang his same game parlays each week, and then cash in on DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app right now, use promo code PFF, and a $5 bet on any NFL team to win gets you $150 in free bets. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Hopefully you have that $150 in free bets so that you can bet the Chiefs live. So make sure that you get your first win in before that point. And last but not least, our friends at Western and Southern. I don't know if you guys are living under a rock, but the recession appears to be coming at some point here. Maybe you had a bunch of money locked up in crypto and you're trying to find a way out. Western and Southern Financial Group helps you get your shit together. I don't think they want me to say that. Get your stuff together. You can edit that out. Whether you're starting a family, buying a home, or just trying to make sure that you are in good shape for the year ahead, go to westernsouthern.com/PFF and address your goals with a custom-made game plan by Western and Southern. All right. We now welcome in Arjun Menon, 100, at where you can find him on Twitter. And if you are following him on Twitter during a Chargers game, you will get a live stream of consciousness, which means that we're going to get to week 12 here in a second. But that game, obviously the Chargers, all great teams, they covered. But I have a feeling you have some takes about this game. Other than the fact that they were kind of spunky and covered, what did you make of this performance by the Chargers?
Yeah, it was just a typical Chargers game against the Chiefs. This was something I tweeted in the morning. In every Herbert and Mahomes matchup, Justin Herbert has won the first half outright as an underdog, as whatever. He's won the first half outright. And then they just blow the lead in the second half, and the Chiefs have now won four of the five games after a first half win for the Chargers. So it all starts with Justin Herbert looking spunky, looking like the elite quarterback that he is. And then in the second half, it just gets super conservative and the Chargers find a way to lose that game. And I just want to go back. The Chargers lost that game by Staley not going for it on fourth and two at the end of the half. You have to kill the Chiefs. You have to cut the head off the snake. Kicking a field goal there is, I think, Staley kind of playing into the masses from last year that he should have taken the points, right? And that's what kind of lost them the game. And ultimately, I think as bad as the Chargers defense was, the fourth down decisions were almost as bad. And I think that kind of cost the Chargers points when it comes to the end of the day.
That was super weird. It was so unlike Staley not to go for it in that situation. I thought equally as surprising, and Brad, we actually talked about this on Wednesday with Seth Galina, was the Kelce matchup. They lose. They have no one can name a receiver on the team because Juju's hurt, Mecole's hurt, and then Kadarius Toney shockingly got hurt, so he's out. So they have no receivers. Kelce's the only player on the field that anyone can even name, and somehow they don't have Derwin James and someone else on Travis Kelce. It's like the only player that you need to make sure doesn't beat you actually beats you. And that's kind of like the two things that are Staley's calling card, which are his fourth down wokeness, if you will, and his defensive acumen, kind of let him go there. Brad, are you selling Brandon Staley?
You have to at this point, because I think he honestly isn't fourth down woke anymore. I think he's been scared by, you know, we won't name names, but he's been scared by the folks that hop on Twitter and hop on their radio shows and go on extended rants about how they, you know, should take the points. Like, that actually didn't surprise me. It's kind of been his MO this season compared to last year. But yeah, the defense just has no excuse. Like, I get they're missing Joey Bosa. I get they lose, you know, J.C. Jackson. Kenneth Murray got hurt in this game, but they're one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Like, they're very, yeah, very bad. Derwin James did a good job against Kelce early in the game. I think he had held him to one catch there in the entire first half when they were matched up against each other. Like you said, he's the only guy that's really a threat. Yeah, I am selling Brandon Staley, which is hard for me to say. He's a former Bears guy. Thought he was going to be this up-and-coming great coach. I am selling shares.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the only thing that I will say is that it is the Chiefs. And you just knew it was going to happen. You know, it's kind of like the big brother beating up on the little brother, which is why, I mean, honestly, like, we talked about some of the bets we placed earlier in the week. The Cowboys were a big position for me, but I ended up probably 3-1. Any other bet that I made was Chiefs live. And it's just like, smart. It's like absolute clock. You know, just every single time that they go down, and it came through. Okay, it is time for week 12, which means we've got a little bit of Thanksgiving Day football here. Brandon Lake wanted to say the show sucks without Eric. You know what, Brandon, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Can you give us some words of positivity, positive vibes here? Okay. Enough of the negativity, brother. So we'll start out on Thanksgiving. We have three games. We have Buffalo at Detroit, Buffalo staying in Detroit, New York at Dallas, Giants at Dallas, and Patriots at Vikings. So we start with the early game, Buffalo at Detroit. Oh, by the way, before we get started, let's check the records here. The only reason I'm doing that is because I think I'm still in the lead here. I went 3-1-1. We still have the teaser, of course, with the San Francisco 49ers. That brings me to 22-13-2. Brad, 2-2-1 brings you to 18-17-2. And Arjun, 1-1-1, 18-13-3. We will give out which bets we are actually going to place tonight. So, Buffalo, Detroit, Arjun, what do you make this?
I made this Bills 10.5. Minus 10.
I had the Lions plus 8.5.
Okay. I'm even shorter than all of you. I have Lions plus 7.5. And I'm probably going to be a little bit short based on what you guys are saying. Let's see here if I can find it. It is 9.5. Detroit plus 9.5 is minus 114. Arjun, what are you doing with this one?
I'm laying off. I like how the Lions are kind of getting back into things. The restore it instead of abhor it is getting back into the swing of Twitter. So I mean, I love what the Lions are doing, but I don't know. I could just see this game getting really out of hand. Like, the Bills are still the best team in the NFL, and you know they can just wipe out the Lions in a hurry and kind of make Goff look like the average, below average guy that he is.
Yeah, so I see 9 on BetMGM, so maybe, you know, like you said, shade a little bit towards the Lions. I mean, I'll be honest. I think it's more of a narrative idea, but the Bills had this crazy winter storm. There are players tweeting about how getting out of their driveway was harder than practice or harder than training camp or something like that. They had this emotional week. They finally make it to Detroit on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Instead of staying in Detroit, they're going back to Buffalo and then going back to Detroit again for this game. So I think they'll still get the win, but I don't know. I mean, an early morning Thursday game, Detroit is used to playing this game every single year, whereas, you know, no player in the Bills may have ever played a noon kickoff Thursday game. This is me trying to talk myself into betting the Detroit Lions. I'll do it. I'll restore the roar. I'll take the Lions. Why not?
Good, because I am. I make it a point every single Thanksgiving. I have to bet every single game. Okay, this is the only way you're making it through Thanksgiving, is if you bet every single game. If not, I don't know if you're American. Does it count? Like, you have to make this happen. And I think, Brad, you hit the nail on the head, which is the emotion of this week. You're sort of, I would liken it to this. Like, I don't know if anyone's been through like a harrowing finals week where you've got like, you know, you've got like six finals, right? And you're like, I'm just going to push through. So you push through, you pull a bunch of all nighters, or you've got some big project to work. You're working on, you push through, you have some setbacks, you pull a couple all nighters, whatever, you get it through. And then you kind of collapse, right? And like, you know, you exhale a little bit. And I think that's what Buffalo is going to do here. And I don't know that means they lose this game, obviously, like to your point, Brad, but 9.5 on the road, all that travel, short week. By the way, when they go back to Buffalo, like, you saw that snow. It's not like they're coming back to Buffalo and it's going to look like Cabo San Lucas. They're going to go back and there's still going to be like 6 feet of snow, right? So I don't think that's going to make their couple of days there particularly easy. New York and Dallas. This one in Dallas. Arjun, we make this.
I made this Giants plus 7.5.
Yeah, the Cowboys the full 8.
What'd you make this?
I said the Cowboys minus 8.
Okay. I have Cowboys minus 6.5. And wow, I'm really short. It is 8.5, minus 106. For the Dallas Cowboys. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
It's tough. I think the Giants looked way worse than I thought they would today, but I guess like there were some weather things in New York. Brad, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it normal? Okay. Uh-huh. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of downgrading the Giants after this week. And Cowboys, I mean, they took the Vikings to the shed, and I mean, no real major injuries coming out of, you know, Minnesota for them. Going to be at home. It feels like the Cowboys could just trash on the Giants this week, take advantage of, you know, a pretty poor right side of the offensive line for the Giants like they did for the Vikings today. So laying off, but I have a pretty strong lean towards the Cowboys.
So George, I could not agree more that you are just not a red-blooded American if you're not betting pretty much every game this day. Mm-hmm. But I overreacted. It was almost going to be my takeaway, but it was more of a personal thing. But I overreacted to Cowboys-Packers and lost both sides of this week. It's not just early in the season. It can still happen to anyone at any moment in the season. I took Green Bay against Tennessee, which was just an awful bet. And, you know, and then I was like, all right, Minnesota, you know, let's tease that up. You know, Dallas isn't that good, and they absolutely destroyed them. So I am going to lay off here, but – you know, New York's bad. We talked on Wednesday. I had Detroit as a play. They showed, I think, their interior offensive line could handle. When Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence aren't creating issues on the interior, Kayvon Thibodeau and the rest of the guys in the edge are simply not good enough yet to really cause problems. Like, Dallas could win by 40 here, but I'm just going to stay away just out of principle.
You know, this was almost my big takeaway as well, which is today's NFL, all the good teams are still liable to be bad on certain days. And if you think you know, the chances are that you probably don't. And, you know, we talked about Minnesota, Buffalo, and sort of what a fluke that win was for Minnesota. And of course, they come out and get curb stomped. You know, they were without their left tackle, Christian Darrisaw, who is a top five graded left tackle in pass protection and overall this season. And as a result, they got kind of trounced in that game. And, you know, the Cowboys were a favorite on the road in Green Bay. So you think there's just this kind of feeling, right, after you get a big victory or you have a disappointing loss, the food doesn't taste as good, you know, all that kind of stuff. You just, you know, you feel like crap and you kind of – this is what the Giants are going to feel like. Now, if it were the Jets with Zach Wilson, I'd be a little bit, you know, less enthused. But with Daniel Jones, who's not – you know, he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback – and a coach in Brian Daboll that knows what he's doing. 8.5 in a divisional game after the Cowboys had that, you know, they're playing what is supposedly the best team in the NFC or one of the two best teams in the NFC, and they beat the brakes off them. But, you know, Mike Parsons got a little banged up in that game. They left guys out there for a while. I'm going to bet the Giants here, plus 8.5. I'm going to stick with it. I was, you know, I'm across a key number of 7. I'm doing it. I'm riding with the G-men.
I don't think it changes your mind. I just want to throw in there. I think Wandale Robinson might be out for the season. He tweeted or he Instagram post some sad thing and he twisted his knee, but I don't think it. Yeah, just put that out there.
Adoree Jackson also is out.
Oh, is Adoree out? He is out.
I think so. It was knee also, right, Arjun?
Yeah. And I think he might be out for at least like 6 weeks.
Okay.
That one definitely makes me hesitate, but I'm still riding with it. I have to bet every single game. New England, Minnesota. Arjun, would you make this?
I made this Patriots plus 2.5.
Oh, I had Minnesota laying 3.5.
Okay. This is as far off as we have been. I have Minnesota by 5.5.
Game.
And I almost made it more than that. It is Minnesota by 3, minus 110 on both sides.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I do like the Patriots in the spot, actually. So to my understanding, Christian Darrisaw suffered another concussion, his second in like 2 or 3 weeks. Probably not going to play in this game. If there's any coach I trust in the NFL to take advantage of a weak link along a system like the offensive line, it's Bill Belichick. Matthew Judon has 12.5 sacks, 13.5, one of those two, in 10 games. He's having a career year. Like, he should be in the running for DPOY. He will wreak havoc on this Patriots or on this Vikings offensive line, similar to what Micah Parsons, Dorrance Armstrong, and DeMarcus Lawrence did today. So the Patriots are also going to run that Belichick patented double wide receiver one, take him out of the game and force you to win with Adam Thielen, TJ Hawkinson, right? And I just don't see that happening. I know the Patriots offense sucks. Mac Jones is awful, but Vikings have the lightest box counts of any team on early downs. Patriots love to run the ball. I think they'll have a okay time running the ball against the Vikings, even if they did lose David Andrews in this game. I like the Patriots. I think it could land on 3, but I could see them winning outright in this game.
Yeah, the Darrisaw one's huge. It's the second concussion in the last 5 days, and he's not going to play in a Thursday game, and I think that is massive. And then, yes, Judon's been incredible. Dietrich Wise has been really, really good, too, for the Patriots. Their secondary played better today. Kyle Duggar had a bunch of nice plays. And then, on offense, their offense is terrible. So since week 6, they are second to last in EPA per play on offense, but they have the number one defense in EPA per play over the last 6 weeks. That might even not include the Jets game today where they allowed 2.1 yards per play. So they're the best defense in the NFL right now over the last, you know, second half of the season. That being said, I'm not betting either side, but this was one where coming into today, and George, for the first time I did your system of, I actually bet them kind of last yesterday watching college games. I just did it, and then I went back to it. And I had Minnesota length 5.5 and moved it after the results today because I kind of, you know, I wanted to test that out for the first time.
Yeah. And so I do something similar, obviously. And I didn't move this because I just felt that there was such a flukiness to the Dallas game and it was going to, you know, people were going to overreact to it. But people weren't going to react to the fact that the Patriots suck. Like, the Patriots offense is just terrible. It is so bad. I mean, Mac Jones is one of the three worst quarterbacks in the NFL in PFF grade this year. So look, the only reason that I want to lay off this is the Darisaw piece, because, you know, to your point, Arjun, they, I think, will take away Justin Jefferson in this game, and they should. But Adam Thielen, TJ Hockenson, like those are decent players. I'd expect them to be able to get the ball to Dalvin Cook as well. And that should be enough to beat Mac Jones. Like, it does not take a lot to beat Mac Jones. I'm sticking with, I bet the first two Thanksgiving games, I will bet all three. So I'm going to take the Minnesota side of this one. If this is the way that my lead in the early bet scoreboard evaporates, then so be it. But I will go down betting all three Thanksgiving games. Chicago, New York. Is this going to be Simeon, Brad?
Okay, so he hurt his shoulder. Justin Fields hurt his shoulder. He said he was in a lot of pain after the game. They did some x-rays and whatnot. I don't think it's a guarantee it's going to be Trevor Siemian, but he also was like, his hamstrings were cramping the whole second half. He got an IV. He was getting like the gun that kind of massages you. Everything was going on. So we'll see. But this Jets defensive line is the last team you want to play when you're not healthy.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Arjun, what do you make this?
I made this, assuming Fields is playing, Bears plus three.
Also, assuming he's playing, I think he will, but Jets minus 3.5.
Yeah, I kind of hedged a little bit, so I went Jets by 4 here. I think there's why would you risk it, right? Like, you might as well get a better pick. So it is Jets by 4. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, I'm laying off. Especially with the uncertainty of Fields, I don't think you can bet them. I mean, I think the Jets also pose a pretty bad matchup for Fields. Like, he has gone against three really bad defenses. And while I think we should have a little bit of a reaction that he's gotten better, we haven't really seen him like thrive against a great defense. I know we killed the Patriots, but the Patriots always struggle versus mobile quarterbacks. So I think this could be a bad spot if he does play. And I mean, I just don't see the Bears really having much success on offense. And I mean, I don't really have a handicap on the Jets offense. That was some horrific quarterback play today, but I think this is me more betting on Fields not figuring it out than Wilson, you know, continuing to suck.
Yeah, I mean, I want to out of principle. So like I mentioned, maybe pre-show, maybe earlier, but I will be in the flesh in attendance at this game. Shout out my lovely wife for the gift. Hopefully she didn't buy us tickets to the Trevor Siemian matchup. But so I want to bet the Bears just based on that. But the Jets defense is so good. And like you said, I mean, yes, the Bears have been better. Top 10 EPA per play since week 6. They've been playing much better, but against a bunch of terrible defenses. And then the Bears defense, I think on paper, is the worst defense in the NFL. There's been some playing worse, but they have literally no talent on defense. If Zach Wilson ever needed a bounce back opportunity in his life, it is coming to him next Sunday against this Bears defense that quite literally cannot generate a pass rush in any way, shape, or form. And then on the back end has some decent players, you know, some decent guys in the secondary. Kyler Gordon got concussed today, might not play. Granted, he's not playing very good regardless. Drake London put him in a blender on the first touchdown of the game. But nevertheless, I'm not betting it, but I would lean fairly heavily Jets, but I can't bet on the Jets and then, you know, show up to MetLife in a Fields jersey. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, guarantee you can now lock in the Jets for a victory knowing that Brad is going.
Yeah, probably. if that is your bet, I understand.
Total 44.5. I think the under there is an interesting play as well. I'm going to lay off this one, but my lean is Jets minus 4 because I think there's probably a decent chance that Fields doesn't play. And if Trevor Siemian plays in this game, then I would move this out to 7. So, because I think we underestimate how bad that offense is without Fields mobility and Trevor Siemian and Justin Fields. So, I think if you're looking for, you know, if you didn't bet the first three games on Thanksgiving, like I did, this is an interesting spot. Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Tampa Bay coming off a bye, Cleveland coming off of a completely disastrous performance. They scored the first touchdown of the game and then went to sleep for the rest of the game and end up losing by 8 to Buffalo. Arjun, what do you make this?
I made this Bucks minus 4.
Yeah, I had Bucks laying 3.5.
I have 3.5 as well. And it is 3 minus 120, minus 118. So basically 3.5 here. Arjun, what are you doing with this?
Yeah, I like this. I'm gonna bet it here. I think this is one spot where I'll probably put like half a unit or a full unit on a pregame. And then once the Browns score their padded and scripted drive touchdown on the first drive of the game, take some more Bucks live. Because, I mean, Nick Chubb had a really bad day today. Bucks run defense is one of the best in the NFL. It's slowly coming back into form. They shut down Kenneth Walker in London, and I think having this type of bye week will get them rejuvenated for the playoff stretch. I think Brady will have them in check. Brown's defense is still pretty bad, so I like the Bucks in this spot. Like I said, I think it's a great live betting thing, and I'm sure Judah will write it up at some point this week.
I'm with you on this one, Arjun. I'm going to take the Buccaneers as well. I mean, the Browns' defense is just so, so bad. And I think the one thing that helps them is when Myles Garrett does freakish Myles Garrett things. But the Buccaneers have one of the best tackle duos in the NFL, Tristan Wirfs and Donovan Smith. So I think they can limit the only thing Cleveland can do well on defense, which is just have the most athletically gifted player in the NFL on that side of the ball. So, yeah, I'm laying the 3 points as well.
We're going to make this a squad ride, and I have some analytical reasons and some not so football-based analytical reasons. So the first one is the point that you guys just brought up, or that you just brought up, Brad, which is the only thing that is potentially slowing Tom Brady down is Myles Garrett. That's it. Now, you mentioned Tristan Wirfs on the right side. Donovan Smith on the left has not been nearly as good. So I think that is a concern. But here's the good news for them. They're coming off of a bye week. The receivers are healthy. The thing that Tom Brady will be able to do to mitigate that Myles Garrett pass rush is get rid of the ball quickly, which he has done this year. And Tom Brady, by the way, people think that he's been playing poorly. He's the 10th highest graded quarterback in the NFL so far this year. But here's the other thing. Thanksgiving is this weekend. You know what Tom Brady won't be doing this Thanksgiving? Hanging out with his family for the first time in a little while. In fact, his wife and kids are probably going to be with her judo instructor or whatever the hell it is, because that's who she's dating now. Pictures of them on all together. He's holding the kids' hands. Tom Brady is, if he isn't on an absolute mission in this game, okay, if the rest of the team hasn't been, they're probably gonna have to come over to Tom's house and do film study on Thanksgiving night. So I love Brady in this spot. I will take the Tampa Bay Bucks. Next up, we have Cincinnati and Tennessee. Arjun.
I had this Titans minus 1.5.
I'm still a hater, even though they prove me wrong every week. So I had this as a pick 'em.
Oh, wow. I have Titans minus 3 in this game. Let's see here. So is Chase back?
He could be. He was still on crutches parts of this week, but there is a chance he plays in this game.
Okay. It is Bengals minus 1.5.
Wow.
So I'm not a hater. I thought I was a hater.
that's an easy. That's an auto bet for me, I think.
This is as off. Usually, I want to say that all of us are pretty close on lines. I have been off by 2 points, 2 points, 2.5 points. One of those across a key number, and then here, 4.5 points. Not across a key number, but. Wow, this is surprising. Okay, so this is an auto bet for you, Arjun. What about you, Brad?
I mean, you can run very well on this Bengals team. They did get DJ Reader back finally for this game, but Pittsburgh moved the ball pretty effectively on the ground with Najee Harris and through the air. I think Treylon Burks is an underrated return. You know, had the third most yards of any rookie receiver this past week with 111 against the Packers, and did it in a lot of different ways, looked very good. So I'm not going to bet the spread because I'm just like confused at this moment and wondering if they know something about Ja'Marr Chase. But the over 42.5 interests me. If Cincinnati can stop running the ball with Joe Mixon, he got hurt today. Maybe they don't just pound the rock for 2 yards of carry against the Titans and actually throw the ball. And so then I like the over 42.5 here a lot.
I'm mystified by this. I expect Jeffrey Simmons to eat in this game. And when I say eat, I mean like he is going to take this Cincinnati Bengals offensive line, which I don't people should know, still suck. They are terrible. And if you watched this game today, you saw exactly that. And he's going to have his way with them. Ryan Tannehill was tremendous last week. Best grade of the season. But Jeffrey Simmons should just eat here in this game. And if Ja'Marr Chase is back, I mean, I can't imagine that he's at full strength. I don't know how much he's been able to do. While he's got two injuries.
I think nothing.
So, yeah, I don't know what I'm missing here. But I'll say this. So I'm going to take the Titans, but I also love at 1.5. We're going to find another teaser leg here. I love Titans teased out to +7.5 at home in this game. I mean, do people remember the Cincinnati-Tennessee playoff game where, like, you know, by just a miracle that the Cincinnati Bengals pulled through after Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times? So
that's a good point. Of all coaches, like, I probably say the revenge stuff way too often. I'm usually kidding. But of all coaches and teams to, like, get up for a game after, yeah, like, that, this might be the spot.
Right? Right? Yeah. Vrabel? Come on. Yeah. By the way, the Tennessee Titans Thursday night money line and spread, lock of the century. We should have made that lock of the week. Houston, Miami. Miami off of a bye. Houston kind of off of a bye because they just literally didn't show up to play the game today against the Washington Commanders. Arjun, you bet the Commanders last week, so yeah, Kudos to you. I'm not as smart as you are. What did you make this spread?
I made this Texans +12.5.
I had Miami laying 10.5. Might be short.
I have 12.5 as well. Hopefully I'm getting closer. It is 11.5 Miami at home. Arjun, what are you doing here?
I think – do we go into and on, guys? Is that the plan?
I'm into and on as of a couple of weeks ago. I officially declared.
I'm still waiting to join. I think I've, as a Herbert fan, I'm on the waiting list, but wait, I don't know. 11.5 is a lot of points. I don't know. The Dolphins, like, offense, I don't know how it's going to fare versus, like, cover two. Texans don't really play a lot of man under Lovie Smith. I think I'm going to just lay off and kind of just enjoy Tua having another game and, you know, enjoy my mentions.
You can never be 2-0. I know this isn't even – you can never be 2-0. I mean, you have spouted the Herbert gospel and the anti-Tua, anti-Burrow gospel. So you can't – you know, we're not going to let you in membership. I made a 4chan account just so I could join 2-0. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so all that said, I want to lay the 10.5 here. I think Houston's defense is just atrocious. Their linebacker play, I mean, like, they've had, like, veterans like Kirksey, and they've kind of been cycling through younger guys. Kamu Grugier-Hill asked to get off the team earlier this year for obvious reasons.
What reasons?
Why not? I'll
take actually don't know.
that was a good explanation, right?
Yeah, that's incredible. Your point that you just made, Arjun, about the too high makes me a little nervous. And I'm not, you know, I think the discourse about Tua, all of it's wrong. Like, he's not horrible. He's also not Patrick Mahomes. The fact is the Miami offense is as good as the Chiefs offense and has been. Past 5 weeks, they and the Chiefs are the top two in EPA per play. Mm-hmm. Find me a way that cover two or not, the Houston Texans are going to stop this team. And what I love is that, you know, if they're going to play cover two, the best running back in the NFL is going to march all over the Houston Texans. That's Jeff Wilson Jr., baby. I love what McDaniel's doing. He's coach of the year, and I've now bet 6 games so far. So this is going to be one hell of a week.
I think Derek Stingley might not play in this game. Had a hamstring issue. Even if he is, you know, comes back with a weak hamstring against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, good luck to him.
Yeah, you might as well just sit that one out.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Washington, in our nation's capital. Arjun.
I feel really good about what I made this line. I feel like it's right on point. Commanders -3.
Same here.
That was the most confidence I've ever heard for that. I said 3.5. And I think, let's see. I don't know who's more right here because it is 3, but it's -118. So,
okay.
We're all right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I do like the Commanders in the spot. Like, look, Brad, in full transparency, I was like completely against you and Eric's Commanders love over the offseason. And again, I don't know if this was a good process, bad, or like good process, good result, or bad process, good result, because you weren't predicting Heinicke starting by midseason, I'm hoping. But
true.
Yeah, Commanders are spunky. They're, you know, winning games. Heinicke has the winner trademark on his name now, similar to other quarterbacks in this league. Commanders' best attribute is their run defense. That's the thing the Falcons want to do the most. I don't really see the Falcons drop back game having much success. And I think the Commanders interior defensive line could have some success in this game. I have a really good feeling it's going to land on 3. So I like the Commanders -3 in the spot, running it back with them, but I have a feeling it's going to push by next Sunday.
Yeah, I think it probably was bad process, decent result, if I'm being totally transparent, totally honest. But no, all jokes aside, it was going to be one of my main takeaway today actually was, I think there are different roster constructions for beating bad football teams and beating good football teams. And I've kind of always been, we have all these conversations about coverage versus pass rush and all these different things. I've honestly always been a guy where if you can dominate in the trenches, I think you can do a lot. I think the reality is you can beat most bad football teams when you win up front on both sides of the ball. When you want to win against the best of the best, you have to have some guys that can make plays on the outside, some receivers, some corners, whatever. And so that's what Washington did against Houston is like their interior, Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen just single-handedly won this game today. Montez Sweat was really good as well. For some reason, I watched almost this entire game for my commies. So long answer short, Arjun, I followed you last week. I'll do it again. Let's ride the commies.
I'm sitting this one out and I feel great about it. Nothing makes me want to avoid a game more than hearing that it's Falcons Commanders. A couple of questions from chat. Is Denico Autry playing? And I should have asked this, Brad. Do you know if he's going to be out this week for the Titans? He's played well, top 20 graded edge defender for the Titans.
He's been very good. I do not know yet. I was checking before. No status yet.
Okay. Kyle Rose says, I don't think these guys actually watch the games. Kyle, I hate to break it to you. We suffer through these games just like everybody else, buddy. All right. Next up, we have Denver, Carolina. My God, there are some great games.
All right, quick pause. You guys, before we get into it, I did look ahead of this one for this reason. All right, guess the total. When you do your guess the spread, also guess the total of this game. Continue.
Let's guess the total. Not cheating. Okay. Arjun, spread and total.
I made this Broncos -4.5, total 34.5.
All right, so I won't guess because I looked at it, but I had, I guess the spread first. I did Carolina plus a field goal.
Okay. I have plus a field goal as well for Carolina because Denver does not deserve to be favored by more than a field goal to any team on planet Earth. I am going to say, man, 34.5 is, that's like a Patriots-Bills snowball game. I'm going to say 34.5 is going to be too low. I'm going to go... I'll go 36.5.
Arjun with a bullseye on the total.
No way. It's 34.5.
34.5.
Wow.
Oh,
dude, I was literally crying.
Hackett should retire. Like, that's 34.5. What was, I want to say that Buffalo, New York, or Buffalo, New England, did that close in the 20s?
The one where it was like a snowstorm?
Yeah.
I think it was probably still low 30s if I had to guess.
I want to say it was.
Yeah.
And this has got to be the lowest.
Yeah, it's in Carolina too. Like it's not even winter weather there, I'm sure.
All right. It is. What was the spread, Brad? Did you see that?
Yeah, it's Panthers are +2.5 on BetMGM.
Yeah, I'm seeing Broncos -2.5 is -115. And I see on FanDuel, by the way, under it's 35.5 is -114. Arjun, what are you doing with this one?
Yeah, there is no way I'm betting on Russell Wilson for the rest of the year, or I'm just not betting on the Broncos for the rest of the year. Like, I mean, the fact that how many, so they put up, they scored how many points today? 16 points against the vaunted Raiders defense at home. Like, are we being serious right now? Like what are they, like the Raiders coming into this game had the worst pass defense per EPA per play. God awful. They scored 16 at home. Like, you can't, I am not betting on Russell Wilson. I'm also not betting on the Panthers, who, you know, were in a dogfight with the Ravens to their credit. But I mean, I'm betting on Russell Wilson and Baker Mayfield is like going to make me pull out my hair at like next week. So I think it's just best to lay off and enjoy that game.
Yeah, the funny thing of the comment in the chat is like, I wish I didn't watch every game because I'm going to hate watch the entire 60 minutes of this football game and question every single thing I did in my life that got me to that point. I actually can't wait. I might just for fun bet the over just to enjoy it. But yeah, I am laying off. I almost think teasing Panthers to 8.5 is like a interesting move, but Baker Mayfield's awful. His two picks today were just classic Baker, you know. So yeah, I'm laying off. This is Iowa versus Nebraska. This is as bad as it gets.
The Carolina Panthers have two quarterbacks, not just one, two quarterbacks taken in the top three of the NFL draft, and they own the worst EPA per play in the NFL this season. Denver is 25th in the league. The only teams worse are Pittsburgh, Los Angeles Rams, New York Jets, New England Patriots, Houston Texans, Colts, and Panthers. So, I mean, this is about as bad as it gets. To pay $240 million to get a quarterback to lead you to the 25th best offense is not great. It is interesting to see the Rams there. You know, I think the Rams are kind of responsible for some of the way that Denver went about this offseason. Teams saying, like, we can go all in and it can work for you. They're not going to have the same result that the Rams did last season. I'm staying away from this one. This is a game that I just I don't really want to watch it. So Baltimore and Jacksonville in Jacksonville. Arjun?
I made this Ravens minus 5.5.
I had Jags plus 3.5.
Yeah, I had 3.5 as well, actually. And this was kind of regardless of the Ravens kind of stinker today. It is 4. Arjun?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I made this 5.5, so I feel like I should be betting the Ravens, but I don't know, the Ravens offense just doesn't look good right now. I kind of understand the Panthers have a pretty good defense with a lot of young guys, but I mean, Lamar Jackson averaged a negative 0.24 EPA per play in this game, and I think some people were saying he played better than the stats indicate, which I can wholeheartedly believe because he's really throwing to DeMarcus Robinson as his number one receiver. But yeah, I don't think the Ravens are like playing at the level I would want them to play at to like for me to bet them in this game. So I think I'm just going to lay off.
Yeah, the Jaguars still show up well. They're top 10 in EPA per play over the last 6 weeks, although their defense is bottom 5 after having a good start to the year. And the interesting too is you basically signed Foye Oluwakun for $15 million a year so he can guard Mark Andrews. Like, that's the whole point of a deal like that. Their safeties are not very good though. Andre Sisco has been playing some good ball of late. I'm gonna do it. I'm taking the Jags.
Yeah, I everything, you know, that I believe in is like, don't do it, you know, because the Jags are the Jags. And I agree. I think that, you know, you had that kind of tipped interception for Lamar, and overall was relatively efficient today compared to how many points they scored. But Baltimore, 7th in EPA per play on offense. Jacksonville's 10th. And defensively, Jacksonville actually, I believe, better than Baltimore, though it may have shifted today. And so you look at those two things and you go, okay, well then why is Jacksonville more than a field goal underdog at home coming off of a bye? And I just think that the market does not view Jacksonville fundamentally as that good of an offense. And maybe that's the case, and maybe they really are that bad, but where they've been poor is under pressure. We know that's unstable. So yeah, I'm going to rock with Jaguars as well. Chargers and Cardinals. This one is in Arizona. Arjun?
I made this Chargers minus 3.5.
I had Arizona plus 2.5.
I had Arizona plus 2.5 as well. And it is plus 3 minus 118.
Interesting. Arjun, what are you doing with this? As much as I would love to bet my Chargers, I don't know. It's just like the defense is just really bad. And like Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins can easily take advantage of that. Mike Williams did re-aggravate his high ankle sprain. So, I mean, he could potentially be out. I don't know what the status is on Keenan. I mean, he finished the game, so I'm assuming he'll be fine. But at this point, if you're betting the Chargers in this game, like you have to have faith in this Chargers defense that they can get stops in the second half. Because the Cardinals are a second half team, even with or without Hopkins. And the Cardinals could be getting Marquise Brown back next week, if I'm not mistaken, right? So Cardinals should be getting a little bit healthier, even if they don't have Zach Ertz. I don't know. I think I would probably lean the Cardinals, but yeah, I'm just gonna lay off this game.
So for me, we get a letdown of the Chargers losing in depressing fashion to their rival for the nth time. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get Arizona coming back from Mexico, high altitude game on a Monday night. Against their division rival, a lot of emotion, all that. George, do you see a total listed for this game?
I do. I see 48.
I'm over. Over all day long.
I like it. The Chargers are getting a lot of respect here to be favored by a field goal on the road. I get that the spot isn't great for Arizona here. The only reason I'm not so if I'll say this, if Kyler Murray comes out of that game unscathed, you know, and is still healthy, then I, and this line remains 3, then I will bet the Cardinals. The only reason I'm not betting it right now is that Murray a little banged up. If he ends up, you know, pulling a hamstring, then, you know, I don't want to, I will have the worst of this number. But the Chargers are not this much better than the Cardinals. They're not. I'm sorry. I know that they played the Chiefs close, and I get that. They play the Chiefs close every freaking time. So enough of that. And yes, it's a big letdown spot for the Chargers here. Raiders, Seahawks in Seattle. Arjun?
I made this Raiders plus 3.
All right, Seahawks minus 4.
Okay, I'm right in between the two of you. I had 3.5, and it is 3.5. Arjun?
I'm not going to bet the game, but I'm definitely going to load up on some Devontae Adams overs in this game. I mean, that guy's probably the most uncoverable receiver in the game right now.
Have you seen Tariq Woolen?
I mean, yeah, I have, but is he going to, even if he shadows Devontae Adams, Devontae's going to have his way as he does with most corners. So it's interesting though. I thought it would land on 3, and the fact that it's 3.5 kind of shows that market's kind of giving some respect to the Seahawks, if I'm not mistaken there. So, I feel like the Raiders could be in a good spot here coming off a pretty emotional win. But, Devontae overs, that's the only play, but I'm not giving that out as an official.
It's 3.5 and minus 115. So maybe moving out to 4 here. If you like the Raiders, you may be able to get it at 4.
Same with the Raiders too. They had 6.6 yards per play today against the Denver defense, which is a very good defense. Second best yards per play behind only Kansas City on the entire week. I'm still not going to bet them, but they've a lot of good. You know, their fundamentals have been fairly strong for a 3-7 football team all year. But I'm going to lay off here. It's this one I think is kind of just it could go any direction.
We have, I'm laying off as well. As I just said, I think it gets out to 4. If it gets out to 4, I'm with Arjun here. I love our Seahawks, Rams and Chiefs. This one is in Kansas City. What's the deal with Stafford, Brad?
He got a concussion again today, so I don't think he's going to play. Because just like Christian Darius saw, it would be 2 concussions in a week. Yeah. Plus, I mean, the Rams are dead. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, so without Stafford, I think this is going to be the biggest spread of the season. I would make, without Stafford, I would make it 17.5 Kansas City.
I didn't go that far. I made it Rams plus 14.
Okay.
Yeah, I had 13.5. And real quick, well, John Wolford, the backup, also was not even active today. So they had to go to their third string, Bryce Perkins, who I think is kind of a pretty good third string quarterback. But nevertheless, yeah, I had 13.5.
It is 14. It is 14. I stand by my number. Arjun, what are you going to do with this one?
I mean, do we have, like, I wonder if anyone in the chat would be able to pull it up, like the official numbers on like Mahomes and Reed ATS, like in these like high spread games. Like, I know, like I've spoken about how I hate using those kind of betting trends to like make predictions and
yes,
stuff.
They're bad.
Yeah, they're bad. But I think like this was something Eric brought up multiple times, like last year, like the Chiefs in some seasons are just not built to like cover these high spread games. Like we saw that in the Tennessee game. I mean, Malik Willis and Derrick Henry and gave them fits, but yeah, I mean, I'm not betting 14. Like that's a lot of points. And I mean, Chiefs had a close one this game and they could be, they could have a backdoor cover by the Rams, like the Saints kind of did today.
Yeah, so the Chiefs are now, their EP per play on offense is double the next best team, the Philadelphia Eagles. And like you mentioned, the Rams are like, with Matthew Stafford and with Cooper Kupp, are 27th or 28th or whatever it is. They're now going to have neither of those players in this game. The Chiefs kind of one issue on defense. They can only rush the passer. I think the three of us could probably get a couple of pressures against this Rams OL. So, I'll take it. Well, no, I'm not going to take it because Andy Reid does take his foot off the gas. But I'm definitely leaning that way.
I'm the Rams without Stafford and Kupp are the worst team in the NFL. Are they not? Like,
I agree.
So yeah, 14 is definitely a big number. How confident are we that Stafford's not playing? I guess here's what I'll say. If Stafford isn't playing, then I think you got to take the Chiefs here.
I'd be really surprised. I mean, like I said, two concussions in a week. He's probably dealing with other injuries because he's always dealing with other injuries as well. You're not going to have Cooper Kupp. I don't know. I'd be shocked if he plays in this game.
Okay.
Don't hold it against me.
I guess I'm going – I'm going to go 0-10 this week and go from winning – being first on the scoreboard to third. I'll lay off. I'm gonna lay off here. But I think it's too short. New Orleans, San Francisco. This is in the Bay. Arjun, what are you doing with this one?
I made the Saints plus 7.
I had Niners minus 8.
Wow. I went 7 as well. And it is Niners by 8.5. Wow. Arjun, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I think – I mean, I don't feel really comfortable betting – the Niners, they've kind of had some games where they just like let these like mediocre teams hang around, like the Saints could be one of those teams that they kind of hung around with the Chargers last week. I think 8.5 is a lot of points, but I think it could go either way with when the Niners kind of just beat up on the Saints or the Saints kind of hang around. Hopefully this year, I mean, they could get Cameron Jordan back next week, so I'm not going to bet this one.
Yeah, these two teams have had some great games in recent history against each other. I remember the Niners came back and won against New Orleans probably, 3-4 years ago. That game was one of the craziest games of the season that year.
The best games of the year, yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah, I'm not comfortable laying that many points either. You know, my Saints, I think that they'll – like, I would lean their direction, but I'm not going to bet them either.
You know, Andy Dalton, fifth highest graded quarterback in the in PFF passing grade on the year. Landry came back this week. Eight and a half is a lot. What do we think about Cameron Jordan? Is he back?
I think he will be. It was a eye injury, I think, something like that. Throw on an eye patch like a pirate. Get out there.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, and the Saints, you know, they've got a little bit of a shot here with the Bucs not being, you know, what we expect them to be. 8.5 is just. I just think too many. So, yeah, this pains me, but I'm going to go. I'm going to ride with
the – in for a penny, in for a pound, George. A dozen bets on the week. Why not?
Why not? But I will say this. If we're looking for we mentioned Tennessee as a teaser leg out to 7.5. Looking at some of the lines that we've got thus far, a couple that come to mind. You've got Carolina plus 8.5 out from 2.5. That's a low total game. But Niners down to 2.5, also an option. Green Bay, Philly. Arjun, this is Sunday night.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm officially off the Eagles first half wagon. Yes, not betting it anymore. It was a fun ride, but now we're losing too many units on it. But going back to this game, I made it Eagles minus 6.
I had Eagles minus a full touchdown.
I had Eagles minus 7.5, and thought it could have been more, but I was a little disappointed in the Eagles today. It is Eagles by 6.5, minus 115. Seems like the market cooling on the Eagles at this point.
I think the cooling is the right thing. Like I think there have been some concerns that I've kind of shared about the Eagles, especially when they're kind of forced to be in this like pure dropback mode. You know, Hurts didn't have a great game today. Like, I think the stats will show it. He did lead. He was a part of two game-winning drives. But in the two game-winning or in the two touchdown drives the Eagles scored in the second half, he had 30 yards passing. Like, when it came down to the Eagles needed a touchdown or they needed a score, they ran the ball. So I think, like, you know, it kind of shows some concern about the Eagles and their long-term prospects, especially in the playoffs, where if they go down 7-0, 14-0 early, like, can Hurts really climb them out of that hole? I have questions about that. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not betting on Aaron Rodgers again, especially in primetime on the road. Like, I think that would just be a foolish move, so laying off there. But I think the Eagles' concerns are warranted.
Yeah, so first thing, if you're a line shopper, I guess BetMGM, it is at 7. So if you'd like the Green Bay, you could get the full touchdown there, minus 115. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, two bad run defenses against two good rushing attacks. I do think, to a degree, teams have also kind of figured out Philly where, I mean, they were just dominating on screen passes and a lot of just kind of like window dressing at the line of scrimmage and then just not really pushing the ball in the field. Of course, the occasional A.J. Brown bomb, Devontae Smith, whatever, but no Dallas Goedert, I think, is a big, big loss for them. He was catching 4 or 5, you know, screen passes that turned into 12-yard gains. It seemed like every single game for them. Miles Sanders has just fallen off a cliff, hasn't been good in a couple weeks. I think they've kind of been exposed to a degree here. So I think a touchdown is too much. But yeah, the Packers stink. So I'm laying off as well, but that's a lot of points.
I'm laying off. I think it's 7. I would lean Green Bay. I think the shine is wearing off the Eagles ever so slightly. In this situation, you know, I think Green Bay showed when they played the Bills a few weeks ago, like, they're not a good team, but they're also not, you know, they're not a disaster of a football team. So they can cover some of these bigger numbers. Monday night, Pittsburgh and Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis 2-0 against the spread Colts. Arjun, what are you doing?
I made this Colts minus 3.
They call him Jeff Sunday. I had Colts minus 2.5.
I have Colts by a full field goal for Jeff Sunday. It is Colts by a field goal, although the Steelers plus 3 is minus 118. Arjun, are you betting this one?
Well, can I bet it if it's 2.5 since it's juiced towards the under or towards the Steelers?
Sure.
Okay. I would take the Colts at 2.5. I get very scared here because the Jeff Saturday versus Mike Tomlin could be one of the biggest coaching differences of the century. But the Colts have surprised me. Like they hung around with this Philly team. They beat the Raiders. The Steelers are just a bad team, like, in general. Like I think they hung around with the Bengals, but at the end of the day, like, I think the Steelers defense was pretty bad today, and the Colts, like, offensively, like, they aren't terrible. I think they could have some success moving the ball. I don't think any cornerback on the Steelers can guard Michael Pittman. If it gets to 2.5 and I can get it to where I can take the hook, I like the Colts in this spot on Monday.
Yeah. So again, BetMGM, you could get minus 2.5, minus 115 right now for the Colts and Jeff Sunday's Colts. I think they're interesting in that they're almost not surprising because what they've done is they're playing a style of football kind of like my spiel before that can beat bad football teams, which is they're going to run the ball a ton, which you can do against Pittsburgh. And I think their defense is actually like a top 5, top 10, yeah, you know, defense in the NFL. And so I thought Kenny Pickett looked pretty good today.
George Pickens gets open on every rep. The dude is going to be a star. But I think I would agree with you guys. I would lean towards the Colts here. Not going to bet it, but I think the defense can do enough to spook a rookie quarterback making, what, his fifth or sixth start. And then the offense, they'll just continue to just run the ball down their throat, kind of neutralize TJ Watt a little bit by just running the ball so much. But if they do drop back, I mean, TJ Watt's going to put Matt Ryan in hospice. So this is going to be an interesting Monday night game. I'm actually looking forward to this Monday night game, even though it's an awful matchup.
I love the Steelers as a teaser leg. I think out to 8.5 with total on this game is, I think, 39.5.
Them in Tennessee, I like, George.
Yeah. So, all right. This is a full weekend. How many bets do I have so far? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8. So, man, there's a real chance to kind of get out to a big lead. Big lead here. Trying to
you just like a Jeopardy final question. You just laid like your whole bankroll, yeah, and you had the lead going into it.
Yeah, exactly. This is a risk it all daily double. All right. Arjun, Brad, appreciate you guys as usual. Thank you all, members of the printing press, for hanging out with us on this lovely Sunday night. We'll be back on the eve of Thanksgiving. We'll talk more about those three games as well as our lock of the week with the double Seth and Judah Fort Gang Wednesday episode. Have a great start to your week. And a wonderful Thanksgiving. Love you all. Peace.